Because you can handle the truth.
We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am, because it's so great to be able to come here and do this every week. But it's even better to be able to do it and have some fun and really just kind of feel what it is that I'm always talking about here, about finding the things that get you from one day to the next, finding the ideas, the feelings, the people, the reasons, the meanings, and that's what we work toward, getting away from this authoritarian rule over our lives, finding ourselves, finding our peace, and moving towards that anarchy, that self-rule, and to be able to have some fun and bring a little bit of light to this tough topic of freedom and what it means to the individual is really a treat. So I've been pushing it. I've been talking about it, and now it's here. Jamie Brown, lead singer for the band Roxanne, is joining us, and we're going to play a bunch of music. All you have to do is go to towardanarchy.com. and click on today's date, and you'll be able to follow along. You see the links to the information on the band, the album, and everything that we're going to talk about. Jamie, thank you so much for joining me, man. It's a pleasure to finally get to talk to you.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk to somebody who is out there and creating. And I think that you have this wonderful story to be able to tell, and we're going to tell it through the music and hopefully through some words here. And just be able to get a feel for what you do and how you've made it. Because, okay, I've hinted a little bit about your story and the band's story about Roxanne and about the big gap. Can you fill in how it is that in 2019 we're talking about your second album when your last performance was at the Roxy in 1989?
Yeah, well, a lot. we've done a lot of different things in the past 30 years, but so like you said, we put out a record in '88. We're just a regular old rock band from the Inland Empire in California, and not really Hollywood guys. We're about 90 miles east of Hollywood. And we put out a record on Scotti Brothers that was owned or a subsidiary of CBS at the time. And we had a little bit of success with that record. We had done a cover of Play That Funky Music, kind of a rock version of it. And we charted with that. And then we had a couple of minor plays with a couple of original songs on metal stations. You know, once, you know, we thought we wanted to be rock stars, but it turns out that we didn't really. we didn't really like the business that much once we got a taste of how things were handled there, because it wasn't really about the art. It was about, you know, pretending to be somebody you weren't and attracting an audience that way. So we basically bailed shortly thereafter. And started a business where we could kind of call the shots instead of the gatekeepers of the music business. And we kind of created a side music business, which was just playing in cover bands, really. And the first thing that we did was a band called the Boogie Nights, which was basically just the guys in Roxanne dressed up in disco costumes playing heavy versions of disco songs.
Nice.
And yeah, and immediately got so busy that we couldn't fill all our gigs. So this is back in, this is 92, and I knew that if I couldn't fill those gigs, somebody else would. And at that time, nobody was doing that. So I got all my musician friends who were also struggling to be rock stars. I said, hey, you know, you can put on a costume and make a good living. You don't have to do a day job, but you can do this and still work on your original stuff. And that's it just snowballed. And 25 years later and 7 or 8 different shows later, we have about 150, 200 guys all over the U.S. still working for that company. And
oh, wow.
That's really how we make our living.
Oh, that's amazing. That's a,
yeah.
And I knew there was a great story to be had there, because it doesn't – to even come back and all this time later and still be the same four members of,
yeah,
a, of
same
a band.
Four. Yeah.
And that's amazing. And then to do some of the music that we're going to talk about, and maybe some of the ideas contained within those lyrics and those songs, and how those could be a problem for people of different views. So let's get right into the music, because that is the most important thing. So we're going to kick it all off here. If producer Ken is ready there, let's play Girls All Right, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about Girls All Right.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Just another great example of a rock and roll song. Tell us a little bit about it. I'm talking to Jamie Brown, lead singer of the band Roxanne.
Well, Girl's All Right. Let's see. Where do I start with that? that's kind of a that song. The intention behind that song was it's not specifically about any particular individual person that I know, but maybe there are aspects of people I know in that. But I was trying to create kind of, in my opinion, an ideal for someone to admire. Basically, the person that I'm singing about is someone that I admire. And hopefully other people would see those traits in themselves or and be proud of it or recognize that they might be missing those things and strive to be more like that.
No, that's great. And that's, you know, when I thought about bringing you on here, the reason I would do it, there's sort of three reasons, I guess. The first reason is music. The second reason is the message in the music. And the third reason is the story that creates it all. So I like it when it all comes together. I'm a musician myself. I play multiple instruments, so I appreciate music and I appreciate quality music. And the first thing that's going to bring me to do something is that music, and it draws me in. And then I want to listen to the words, and then I find if the words give me some meaning. And it's hard sometimes. You probably experienced this if you're around Hollywood and out in that area, where you probably met people that you looked up to, and then you met them and kind of found out that they maybe weren't as great as you thought they might be, this image that you'd built up for yourself over time. And that can happen, I think, to people who listen to music, who invest a lot of their heart and their soul into other people's music, not realizing that it can be sort of narcissistic and self-serving, and that the healing that they maybe want to experience is the healing that the creator is experiencing, and maybe not the person who is listening to the music. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I know there are lots of quotes, famous quotes about meeting your heroes, you know, and how that can oftentimes be a letdown, and that's unfortunate. But you know, I guess it's to be expected. And if you were determining who that person is by the art that they're creating, you may or may not be right. You should be right, and if you're not, then there's something faulty in the art. You know, nothing ends up in your art by accident. And, you know, so if you're focusing on something ugly in your art, then there's something ugly that you think takes priority over the things that are not.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think your message is going to come across in different ways to different people. So it's always really weird. It's one of the things that I liken it to is that I've gone back and I'll watch something, years ago, and then I'll see it or hear it again later and with different eyes. And then, you know, we get these movies and they have all the extras and stuff on them. You get your Blu-ray and it's got all the DVD commentary and stuff. And you listen to the creator, and the creator didn't even realize what they were creating at the time. And sometimes that can be a little bit of a letdown when you've invested all this idea over time of what this piece, what the piece of art was that they created, not even what the creator was trying to make out of it. And then to have them tell you that it didn't mean anything to them when they created it. I almost tell people not to listen to the extras for stuff like that.
Yeah, that could be a disaster, and that's unfortunate.
The reason I bring it up is because there's a point, and I talk about this a lot. And the point is that you need to invest in yourself first, and then you can invest in these other things. Stop looking for the external validation, whether it's through music or art or whatever these things are, from other people. If you need to express it yourself, that's different. But don't expect to be satisfied in it from other people.
When you're talking about you see the extras and you see that they didn't even intend to do that. I mean, sometimes that can be a blessing, I suppose. But you're right. You've invested as the listener or the viewer, and you've taken away from it, and then to find out, well, they didn't have that in mind, or they didn't take it that serious, that can be a letdown. There's also, you know, friends of mine, I don't know where the quote came from, but we used to talk about, you know, we'd be learning the lyrics to some song that we really liked, and then we get the lyrics and we go, that doesn't make any sense. That's not what I thought it was about, you know, and we would find meaning where there is none. And some artists will take that approach. Oh, it doesn't matter what you say, it's how you say it. And, you know, I guess you can go get along. You can get far that way if you say it with conviction, regardless of what it means, and then let people find their own meaning in it. I tried not to do that with this record. I tried to make it pretty clear what I thought about things.
Yeah, and that's great, because that's what we're going to get to here as we listen to some of the other songs, some of the more political stuff. The question is, where does the politics show up in your music? It's fairly obvious. We'll get into that. What we're going to do is, because we have a short segment that comes up here in just a minute, we're going to play Broken Chandeliers into that segment. So if you want, we can talk about Broken Chandeliers and what brought that. And please feel free to talk about the music or any of it, because I love to just hear about the process. And I'm kind of geeking out, and some things I know the answer to when I ask them, and other things I don't, and I'm just waiting to hear what you say.
Okay, well, and if I give you the answer you didn't expect, let me know. Let me know what you thought, because you might be one of those guys who found meaning that I hadn't intended, but, you know, maybe it's there. Broken Chandeliers. We reworked that one several times for the record, trying to get it to translate from what the original concept was and the feel was for that song. And it's very, in a way, it's in the same mode as Girls Are Right, the one you just played. But for me, the Broken Chandeliers, the intent behind that was that, you know, life is short. And you try to spend less time focusing on the things that went wrong and focus on the things that are good, because whatever you have is good is a result of all those paths and mistakes you made along the way. If you hadn't done all that, you wouldn't have what you have now.
That's right, and you wouldn't find yourself where you are now if you
hadn't. Yeah, and unless you really hate where you are right now, you know,
and some people do, unfortunately, but that can't be helped. But then you still got to look back. I mean, it can't be all bad, was it? I mean, I suppose there are people that it is all that bad, but I think most of us normal people, that we can look back and we can find something good and reach for that. And then you grow and you find yourself, well, look, you guys took 25 years off or whatever, and you come back and you find yourself on Rat Pack Records. You find yourself in the company of the likes of Vixen and Lynch Mob and John Corabi. I could just keep going and going. There's Queensryche members, there's Korn members. I mean, you find yourself running in some amazing company right now, including some help on this album from the man himself, George Lynch.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, I've known those guys for the whole 30 years, so that doesn't surprise me. Yeah, so, you know, we've all been friends this whole time, so it's just kind of like, yeah, we're going to do a record. You guys want to play on something? And I tried to find the songs I thought their personality and their point of view fit the best for, and that's what they played on. So and the relationship with John Corabi, you know, John was a singer besides Motley Crue. Before Motley Crue, he was in The Scream.
Right.
And
great band.
Yeah, and The Scream, before they were The Scream, they were, what were they calling themselves at the time? Well, they were Racer X prior.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? And Paul Gilbert was in the band, too. And Scott Travis, who's now a Judas Priest. And we used to do shows with them. Roxanne did shows with them. And then, you know, we kind of stopped doing the Roxanne thing, and Paul went on to do Mr. Big. And so I started playing with those guys, and we started writing material. And we did a demo. One of the songs that we did on that demo was Man in the Moon. You know, a few years later, John Corabi joins that band, and they become The Scream, and they put a record out on Hollywood Records, and they do Man in the Moon.
Man in the Moon. Yeah. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, so I wrote that song.
Oh, that's amazing.
So then we put it. It was intended to be on Rox, our second Roxanne record, which we didn't do. And then so here we are doing our second record 30 years later. So well, anything that was supposed to be on that, should we do it? So
that is amazing. I'm talking to Jamie Brown of Roxanne. We'll be right.
Bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state, from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Toward Anarchy, I am talking to Jamie Brown. He's lead singer of the band Roxanne, and we are going to play Broken Chandeliers off of their brand new album. And you can find it right now if you go to towardanarchy.com and you click on today's date. It'll take you to the links. You can find Radio Silence, the new album. You can buy it there. And let's check out this song right now.
Mr. Pour me another razor tone. truth got so twisted.
Broken Chandeliers from the album Radio Silence by the band Roxanne, and Jamie Brown joins me. He's the lead singer, and we're just hanging out talking about the music, and it's great. I see a consistent message, that, and that's important for me if I'm going to talk about a message, and that's about seeing the self and realizing who you are and striving for that better person, and that's great because that's what I want to do every day. I'm never trying to be better than the next guy. I'm just trying to be better than I was the day before yesterday. You know, today be better than I was yesterday. That's the way I'm trying to say it.
Good. Good one. Well, you're on target. So I'm glad that it comes through. So far we're interpreting it the same way.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important. This is what I do here on this show. The listeners know this. We talk about words and about what they mean and about the time and the place and the space in which they're used, because it changes depending on where and when they're used and how they're used. So I think it's important that if you're trying to discuss an idea, particularly if you're talking about an ideology, something that affects other people and those around you, I think it's important that you're clear about the language that you're using. And so that's what was great about seeing GFY, Go F Yourself, the song that we're going to play here in just a minute, because it speaks to my audience in a certain way, because there's some things that you mention if you're talking about the video. And what you'll notice that I did this, Jamie. What I did is I took the intro of the video and spliced it to the album. Yeah, and so because I could take the whole video version, but the recording wouldn't be as good as my YouTube, my iTunes paid album. That's where I bought my copy of Radio Silence.
Was it? I see. Okay, yes. So you have the little acting bit at the beginning of the video to play too.
I did, yes, and yeah. It, we were curious to know, the CCC, is this a thing or is it based on a thing?
No, I just made it up. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't exist eventually.
Exactly. No, absolutely. It's the exact sort of thing that we're talking about. So it's clear from the intro of the song what the message is in the song. So if producer Ken is ready, let's go ahead and play Go F Yourself. It's a little bit edited. We try to go for the radio play sort of thing here. And it's got the whole intro. Just go ahead and play it because there's birds and stuff tweeting. Just imagine yourself on a sunny California day enjoying the beautiful sunlight and the trees are blowing in the wind and the birds are singing and there's a knock on your door.
Hi, I'm Raleigh with the California Compliance Commission. We're going around the neighborhood to make sure that all the households aren't in any violations of our compliance items of the state of California.
California?
The CCC.
Oh, the CCC. And what is the CCC?
You go around and make sure that your art isn't offensive to your neighbors, your pet vaccinations are up to date, you got smart toilets in your bathrooms, things of that nature.
You know what's offensive to me besides your hipster beard? Raleigh. Is your man bun. So why don't you take your California Commie Collective and go yourself.
Yeah.
Ah, what an amazing piece of work. It is Toward Anarchy. I am your host, Michael Storm, and that was Roxanne. The song was, you heard what it was, GFY, Go F Yourself. And, of course, there's a meaning to it. It's brand new from their album Radio Silence. And with me is Jamie Brown. He's a lead singer. And what a great song. I mean, it, for one, rock and roll song to the max. I'm telling you, that intro, as soon as it hits, I start getting a southern Blackie Lawless kind of wasp feel, and but then it goes into this groove that I'm afraid Blackie just never had.
That's funny. Yeah. I was wondering how you're going to get around the language on that, if you were just going to play it or you could have asked me for a G-rated version. I have one, so you wouldn't have to make that yourself. But
You know what? I like to play with my toys and play with the music and edit and stuff like that. I'm old school. I've been doing it long enough that I did it back on tape. I'm sure you know the feeling.
Yep. I do.
Actual cutting, razor blade, and splicing, and oh, gosh. Yeah. I can't imagine trying to do it with sort of multiple, a whole bunch of tracks. I just did it as a DJ. I was pretty easy. Throw, you know, maybe some sound effects, maybe some music, and then a vocal. I don't, you know, multiple instruments, and it might be a little more than I could have done.
Yeah.
But digitally, man, I can, you know, I whip out 36 tracks. Do-do-do, boom.
Yep.
So obviously the message behind that is clearly geared at some of the sort of leftist meddling that you get in places like California, these states that I guess are extremely leftist. Do you consider yourself politically involved at all? Do you choose a side in that battle?
Well, obviously, you know, I view my life as my own, and I like to be left to live it as I see fit. And, you know, there are a lot of people, you know, not just on the left, but on the right, too, that think that your life belongs to them, and it does not. And that's where I'm coming from on that. And you just, you know, leave me alone.
That's great. I'm glad you clarified that, because I don't ever want it to be left in that space at all. Make no confusion about here when I'm talking about them. The left, the right, I see no difference between them. There is no fundamental difference between them. There's no logical difference between them, just where they want to take money and who they want to give it to. That's the only thing that matters with them.
Yep. And what their you know, their motivation, or their you know, the what they say their motivation is.
There you go. I was glad you got that too, because I would have had to say something about more along the lines of where they say it's coming from as opposed to what it is, because how many times do we have to have a toe tap go down in a bathroom between some guy and some guy on the right before we realize that they're just talking out of one side of their mouth, depending on who their audience is and how many lines they've had.
Yeah, this is true. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the lyrics in that, you can, you know, it's got, you know, a decent 500,000 views or so on YouTube, and then there's probably 1,200 or 1,300 comments on there. Yes. And they're pretty funny. The comments are pretty funny. And what you're talking about, people interpreting things, you know, seeing in it what they want to see. For the most part, I think people see what I had in mind there. But, you know, there are some people that definitely do not understand it or or completely disagree with my point of view. It's pretty fun to read.
No, that's great. I was going to mention that, actually. That and the comments and such, because for one of the things that I caught was, oh, great new band. This is good new stuff, you know. And then I know the history, and I'm thinking, oh, new. Well, I guess it depends on your definition of the word. the whole thing come together for me real simply under that. But then there was another song that I started looking at, and, you know, just going through your music and finding these places. In fact, I meant to ask you about this. I don't know if you looked at the link towardanarchy.com. When you click on today's link, I don't know if you're sitting in front of a computer, if you will later, I sent you that link. It's the same. down there, there was a couple of links that I came across to some cool sites. It was discogs.com, and it just had like a Japanese release, your Scotty Brothers album.
Yeah, I did click on those links, and I looked at that just a second ago.
Was that great or what?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it's weird because they took the original record and then we did a few songs for a movie soundtrack, a Japanese animated superhero film. Nice. And then they just re-released the original record and added those demo tracks that we did for that superhero movie. So, and they made it look like it was a whole new record, but it isn't. Yeah, it's the old record with these superhero songs added onto it.
That was funny, and it took me a minute to figure that out when I was looking at it too. I'm like, okay, I'm a little bit confused. Okay, all right. Well, I don't care. I'm sharing the link anyway. What I thought was great was that it also showed the video links, the YouTube video links, and that's where I came across the hour-long last show.
Is there a video of it or just audio? I think it's just audio,
it's
correct?
Just audio. Yeah, it just shows a picture of the flyer, I think, for the actual video. But it was down there in the corner. Otherwise, I hadn't come across it yet.
Yeah, somebody emailed that to me too, and I was, you know, oh man, I hope nobody sees this. But anyway,
no, it's good. It's not bad at all.
You can hear us getting into a little bit of a spat with the sound guy or the monitor guy or something because we started playing a Sex Pistols song and we wouldn't stop. And and the guitar player was singing at that point and I was playing guitar and they were threatening to turn us off. We didn't stop. And then we got the whole audience chanting something that I can't say on the air, and so they let it go.
Rock and roll, man. You got to love it. And everybody's version of it is a little bit different. Oh, yeah. No, this is – it's fantastic. So let's play the next song. As I started to say, I was – you know, I'm looking through and I'm doing the research and I'm finding the music. I'm loving it, and that's the important part. But then I come across Thin Blue Line. And while there are a whole lot of things that people will agree with me on, one of them that they don't tend to agree with me on because they're not there yet, they don't quite get it yet, is putting an end to policing and this idea of the Thin Blue Line. I'm not suggesting that that's where you're taking things, but let's listen to this song and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the politics. If you will, producer Ken, please fire up that Thin Blue Line from Roxanne.
Divide and conquer, plan of attack.
It is Toward Anarchy. I am your host, Michael Storm, and that was the song Thin Blue Line. It's from the album Radio Silence by Roxanne, and lead singer Jamie Brown is with me, and we're talking about the music, and we're talking about amazing music, great music, but we're also talking about some of the words and the meanings in there, and it's a question that comes here. It's something that we address all the time. And my audience, one of the reasons that I chose this audience to talk to, is on one side of the Thin Blue Line, and I tend to find myself on the other side of it. In this sense, the policing is a particular practice of creating criminals and generating revenue for the state. It's not the same thing as protecting the citizens. And that's all I'm going to say on it. Jamie, tell us a little bit about the song and where you find yourself, how you guys come to make that, and how does a band that with four different guys in it who probably don't all share the same views politically, probably don't all agree on something maybe as politically charged as a statement like this, or even GFY. How do you guys do that?
This might be one of those cases that we were talking about earlier where you, as the listener, has a different interpretation than me as the writer. So we might be on different pages, but not completely. So I'll tell you what I mean by that. And as far as us in the band, we actually all kind of do have the same political position.
That makes it easy.
Yeah, it definitely does. Maybe I'm the most outspoken, which is fine. But as far as I know, we're all on the same page. And if we're not, they're quiet about it. I think we're all on the same page. This song, Thin Blue Line, actually started out as just an anti-politician song. And it wasn't about the police. It was about politicians pitting us against each other. Right. Nice. If you see something, say something. Watch your neighbor kind of stuff. And then when all hell breaks loose, they blame the cops. And that was the position of this song. Now, I don't know. Do you consider yourself a libertarian?
I'm an anarchist as far as that goes, but I guess libertarian. I'm not political. I see no value in it. Mathematically, your vote is pretty worthless. And they pass the laws without you actually getting to vote on the laws. So, you know, there's a disconnect between what they say they're doing and what they actually do. They say they're representing us, but then they go in and they actually just create, you know, and enforce on us.
Yeah, and I believe there's some truth to that too. But that way, my point was more, you know, I kind of have read different books on different philosophy, okay. and I, you know, I read David Bowie's book on libertarianism, and I read it a few times, and there's a lot of great ideas in there, but I thought that the one thing that was missing, one of the things that's missing from libertarianism is the delegation of force. And that's what the police force is, rather than each of us trying to enforce our point of view or our will on others. That we have, that's the one thing we've delegated to someone else. Now, they're supposed to be they're supposed to answer to us and behave properly. That's not always the case, but for the most part, at least it's the objective, or the stated objective.
I think you're right, and that is the stated objective, and that's great, because that's where I'm trying to find. You know, you are the audience that I'm talking to, so that's really great, because eventually I'm going to convince you all that nobody gets to rule you at all, not even those guys with their made-up laws and that stuff. I'll get there eventually. We'll get you all convinced of it. I wanted to talk just a little bit about the videos. You directed the videos and brought them together, and they're classic, amazing videos, and I'm not just talking about Superbad.
with
the half-naked girls, if you go follow the links, you'll get to see them. Beautiful women, you know, running around on hot rods and just great rock and roll stuff. No,
American-made muscle cars. Yeah, girls in bikinis. That was the objective for that song, right?
Well, you got there. No, it's just great work. Is that something that you've done before? Have you?
In high school, I was a musician, and I was also into TV production and that sort of thing. So that's basically, you know, my plan was to graduate high school, and I had a scholarship, a full ride at Pasadena College of Art and Design. But I was also playing in a band, and I had to choose at that point. Do I want to continue getting up in the morning and going to school for another 4 years, or do I just want to play in a band and meet girls, right? Hmm. So I chose the girl thing and the band thing, and I didn't follow the filmmaking career, but I continued to do it as a hobby. So,
nice.
The first music video that I did was for KXM and a song called Rescue Me, and it was their first record, which is Ray Luzier from Korn, George Lynch, and Doug Pinnick from King's X. And Ray and I had been friends for a long time, and Ray suggested me to the label to do the video because he knew that I had the gear, and that would be it would be an easy thing to get done. So I did that, and since then, which is 4 years ago, I've done about 55 videos for different bands, and they're all out there floating around on YouTube.
Oh, wow, that is amazing. Unfortunately, I just heard that music. That means that we're running out of time. We're going to have to wrap this thing up. We get just a couple of minutes to think about it. Oh, no, we're going to go? All right. Right up to the top of the hour? Sweet.
All right.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's even better. So we got a few more minutes, and we can talk about these things. That's awesome. Shocking surprise. Creative people tend to follow those same sort of creative lines. I've got my, you know, sort of 4K multi-$1,000 camera here, and I play around, and I've done some interesting 55 videos, huh?
Yeah, I probably couldn't even keep track of them anymore. It was, for a while, it was, you know, insane how many that were piled up on top of each other to edit. And I have, you know, some that are done that aren't out yet that'll be out soon, and I've got one sitting in the edit bay right now waiting for me to wrap it up. And then I've got Dave, the drummer, and Roxanne sitting in my living room waiting for me because we're writing songs for Roxanne 3 right now.
Oh, awesome. That's fantastic news.
You got a topic for me?
What's that?
You have a topic for me?
Topic for you?
Yeah, for a song.
For a song. Oh, man. Boy, I do. You know what? Not on the spot. Because I'm going to send you an email. Yeah, I'd love to give you a topic, man. That'd be cool. That'd be fun, man. No, it's really neat to just get to talk about some of these things. It's so hard from day to day for the normal person to just get away from the things that you have to do. My wife is a teacher, and so we've had this summer off, and it's one of the first summers that we've really had off. And we've really enjoyed it, and we've done nothing. And you know what? I like doing nothing. I like just hanging around and picking up my guitar and playing it whenever I want to, throwing a movie in whenever I want to, throwing an album on whenever I want to, and just enjoy living life and not having to, you know, do the daily drudge, let alone consider all of the weight of, you know, political weight and things that are on top of us as well. So it's cool to release with you.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad you're taking time to enjoy that, because, I mean, it's obviously important for us to, you know, share our thoughts and find like-minded people to hang around, but it's also good to just do nothing and enjoy a bag of Doritos and watch something on Netflix.
Yeah, man, Netflix and chill, I guess. That is it for the show. Thank you, Jamie, so much for joining me. It has been a pure pleasure, man. I will talk to you again soon. The band Roxanne, you can find the links up at towardanarchy.com. Just click on today's date. I will be back next week right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Take care.
All right, Michael. Thank you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic.